Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman. Good evening, everyone. This is Jennifer Hellman, and thank you so much for listening tonight. Tonight, I am really thrilled to have a couple guests tonight. We are talking about the movie The Living Matrix, and I was really blessed to see this movie locally and actually won a copy of the movie. And the movie is basically a new documentary that challenges conventional medicine to expand its understanding of human biology. It really goes over the different types of alternative methods to really challenge the everyday medicine to say the human psyche and the human biological aspects of it can really be changed by forming different thoughts. And tonight's guests are the director and the producer. Greg Becker is the president of Imagine, along with his wife, who is the producer, and they're on the air. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you very much, Jen.
Now, did I explain basically what the movie is about accurately, or am I missing something?
Well, I think there's so many layers to the movie. It's difficult sometimes to just put it into one consistent sentence of what it's about, but we really take a look at the whole idea of bioenergetic fields and information fields and really look for some scientific validity for these phenomena. That's part of it, but we're also educating people as well about these ideas, and we are trying to say, wake up. It's kind of a wake-up call to traditional allopathic medicine to say, look, these things are real, they are happening, it's time to take a look at them.
And one of the big messages in the movie is also that people need to take control of their own health and become responsible for their own health. And when they do that, they'll find out that they're much more powerful than they ever imagined. So one of our messages is, there are a lot of different things that people can do, and they're available to everybody, and they're not necessarily complicated. So we wanted to bring a message of hope and change to people. Are you there?
Hello?
Hi, I'm sorry. I accidentally pushed my mute button. That happens sometimes. What I was saying, that's interesting that you should say that, Susan, because as an intuitive reading, one of the things that I'm getting from Spirit very closely is people need to heal themselves. So many people were throwing the responsibility on others to heal them and not taking responsibility themselves for their own body. So this film really is kind of letting people know that they do have the power and the insights to really know their own body and know what to do to help the situation for themselves. We can help guide them through the process, but they really need to take care of themselves. So that even makes this film even more powerful to me, to let people know that they are in power to really do the healing themselves. So there's a lot of different ways of going about this interview, because there is so many different alternative medicine and thought forms you guys throw out there. So let's just start. What is biogenic medicine?
Well, if you look at bioenergetic medicine, it's the whole idea that there are energy fields within the body. And it's really not a new idea. It's certainly something that's been around. It goes back to my ancient Vedic records, and there's certainly been discussions of this for a long time. But I think what's interesting is now we're looking at some scientific validity of these things. And even the bioenergetic concept is utilized by traditional allopathic medicine all the time. They use EKG machines, they use brainwave machines. All of these things are measuring energy and fields that are emanating from the body. So we're currently using them as diagnostic tools, and what's really starting to happen is we're pushing that envelope now. We're saying it's time to really look at these things and see how do they influence our health, how do they control our health, and how, you know, what kind of factors can we incorporate into these that can change the health of the human being.
So with that, what was it about this film that got you involved?
Well, for me, it came from a place where I personally needed to go through a healing journey. I was suffering from chronic fatigue, which is a situation where basically I would go out and work one day doing some video shooting, and I'd be unable to get out of bed the next day. It would be very difficult for me to function any kind of normalcy after a stressful event. So to me, I had to go out and do this journey and do this wake-up call to find out how to heal myself. And it involved nutrition, it involved bioenergetic fields, it involved all kinds of alternative ideas, acupuncture, just a whole range of things. And having gone through that experience, I started to realize that, and obviously it worked well for me. I'm healthily functioning now. I can go out and shoot, and I have more energy than I've ever had. But it took me 4 years to go through that, to really get back to sort of a normal state. But I realized that all of these things that are out there, people aren't really aware of them. There's no real sense of what the possibilities are. And it became obvious that we really needed to take this information and put it into a film.
Now, did you write this film? Or I know you directed it. I mean, mm-hmm. What was the process to really get this going?
Well, it's a synchronistic journey. I mean, it's not something that was written, and you know, we had a very rough idea. Worked very closely with the executive producer and partner Harry Massey, who was also intimately involved with the film. And we sat down and we sort of had an idea, sort of a general outline of what we thought were interesting issues and aspects. But it wasn't until we started really shooting and going out and interviewing various people that we started to find, you know, little threads that would lead us into another person. And there were just some wonderful synchronistic events that led us through the whole chain of events and got us to some really magnificent people. I mean, there's Lynn McTaggart is in here, who's just mm-hmm. a marvelous person. She has a wonderful website that works with intention, and some of the work that she's working with is amazing. So it was really a great journey. I really enjoyed it.
And what about you, Susan? What got you involved? Was it just your husband, or is there something about the subject that really got you going personally yourself?
I had some early experiences when I was in my late 20s, when I visited a healer and experienced quite an amazing energetic healing. And I could never really understand why it worked. All I knew was that, wow, it worked. And I had, you know, recovered from my health issue very, very quickly. And later, after our first daughter was born, she was, as a baby, was having recurring ear infections. And my pediatrician, the only solution she could come up with was putting her on a low dose of antibiotics permanently, which to me was not a great option for, you know, a little 3-month-old baby. So I decided to take the baby back to see the same healer that I had gone to a number of years before. And once again, the result was quite amazing. The series of ear infections cleared up, and it's not that she never had another one, but they were not chronic anymore. So I was that made me very curious, but I didn't really have any answers at that time. So that was sort of a seed that was planted. And Greg and I have always, you know, been interested in health and health issues, and you know, I have a yoga practice for over 17 years, and it's definitely changed my life in many different ways. So, you know, I just had a personal interest, and as you know, Greg was working with Harry, coming up with the idea that, you know, this needed to be a film. I got very excited about that idea. The more that we found out and we met the people from IONS, Marilyn Schlitz and Dean Radin, mm-hmm. and learned more about their work and We also had the opportunity to visit HeartMath, and their work is so fascinating, and there's a lot of that in the film. And so just the more that we, of these people that we met, the more we learned, it just became a really a personal journey as well. So it's really been quite an experience.
Now, you guys really got some very interesting people, and you've got a lot of people on there that I've never heard of, but I'm glad I know of them now. Where did you decide to go to find these people? What was the process to really figure out who to have on to discuss this stuff?
Well, you know, again, that's one of the things I think that documentary is really interesting, because it does kind of evolve as you go. It's not a cast in stone process. So we would run off and interview someone, and they would mention, gee, you know, have you talked to somebody like Bruce Lipton, who's got a phenomenal background with epigenetics and the whole genetic structure. Actually, there's a wonderful story of how we bumped into Bruce Lipton. My partner, Harry Massey, just had moved into a house in Spain. He'd been working to close this deal, and he finally was able to purchase this house in Spain. So he went down there and was walking through the house, and it's virtually completely empty, except for one room. He walked into one room, and there was a book in a closet, and it turned out to be Bruce Lipton's book, The Biology of Belief. And he'd never seen the book before, never, you know, knew anything about it. And he picked it up and started reading it and said, my God, this guy is fantastic. We have to incorporate him into the film. So it's things like that that came along, you know, as well as referrals and just some real research. But it was also these beautiful synchronistic moments like that pointed us in the right direction.
It's amazing. You mentioned Lynn McTaggart. She's wonderful. Bruce Lipton, Peter Fraser. I mean, you've got Edgar Mitchell, who was the former astronaut, who's now very much into alternative healing in a huge way. He's really done a lot of magnificent things to really kind of get the idea out there that there's something more than just conventional medicine. And with that, why do you think conventional medicine kind of ignores alternative healing? Why do they feel, in a sense, it seems like they feel threatened by it? And do you think there's going to be a growing interest going this way into alternative?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt there's a growing interest in alternative because, you know, it works. It's inexpensive. There's a variety of options that you can explore. I mean, there's so many positive aspects to it. It doesn't have the complications that taking drugs do that. You know, there's just a wealth of positive reasons to explore it. And there's no doubt in my mind as we go forward that these things will become more and more a staple in our healthcare systems just because of those reasons. It is cost effective and it's safer in so many different ways. So it's going to have a huge impact, and I think it's really part of the wake-up call of the film is to say, hey, it's really time to take a look at what are our health care options. But, you know, we're accepting a certain bill of goods here, and it's time to expand that and really open our minds to what's possible.
Yes, and
I mean, how did we get to a point where things like having bypass surgery and angioplasty and taking all kinds of drugs are considered normal, conventional, but things like meditating or acupuncture or
nutritional changes even.
And those are considered radical. I mean, it just seems like it's very skewed, and I think there's a shift happening because people really are looking for a solution, not just control of their symptoms, but for something that actually heals them. And there's a lot of options that are out there, and that was part of the impetus behind the film to say, look, there are a lot of different kinds of things that you can do that really work, and there is science behind it. There are people who are studying this, and there is good evidence contrary to what the conventional medicine would have you believe.
Yes. And even in Tucson, Arizona, the university here, the medical center has a whole separate hospital to alternative healing and research.
That's wonderful.
And you're starting you're really starting to see more of that. There's hospitals that have an integrative clinic, they'll call them sometimes,
yes,
where you can get acupuncture and you know, Tai Chi classes and meditation classes and,
mm-hmm,
and things like that. So you're starting to see some of that. But I actually have a nephew who's just coming through the medical system, and he's now an intern. And he said, you know, as a doctor, I understand that, you know, that there's this clinic in my hospital where they have this integrative health and something like acupuncture is available. But he says, I have no idea how to prescribe that. I have no idea what that is and how it's utilized because I've gone through this whole medical system of training, and they don't tell me anything about that. So we're not really educating people to look at that option. We only educate them to look at that drug option. That's the only thing that's in the drawer, so to speak.
So do you think films, this documentary, should be kind of shown in the medical schools to give them a heads up of the possibilities?
It certainly can do that. But I really think the drive to make change is going to happen from the grassroots level of people themselves demanding things that work, of taking control of their symptoms and their lives and going out and really pursuing the kind of health care that they really want. And that's going to make the change because the industry is always going to follow where the consumer dollar goes. And
oh,
as
definitely.
As long as people are voting with their dollars and they're voting for something like acupuncture or you know, some kind of a bioenergetic approach, then eventually those things will be incorporated.
I mean, there's a staggering statistic, and that is that at least half of all Americans take at least one prescription drug a day. I mean, half of all Americans, that's unbelievable. And as people get older, that number rises. I mean, older
mm-hmm.
people are among the biggest users of prescription drugs. But, you know, that's a reflection of an attitude that and a belief that there's a drug or a pill that's going to take care of your health problem. And I think, you know, people are starting to question that because, you know, one of the leading causes of death in the United States is due to adverse drug reactions.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting to read more and more about
cause.
That. Yeah. So, you know, the point is, if people start, you know, changing their attitude and saying, wait a minute, there's something else I could be doing that doesn't, I don't have to take a pill or a drug to change my health, then I think that's going to affect, you know, big change, but it has to come from, you know, a belief and attitude shift.
How do you, I mean, this film definitely starts the ball rolling. So how are you advocating to really, other than the film, what other ways do you think that people can really start magnifying the other possibilities that, so it's acceptable? Because there's a lot, yes, the energy definitely is shifting so people are more open-minded. But there is a lot of people now that are still saying, ain't going that. That's voodoo. That's negative.
Yeah.
That's evil. I can't do that.
Well, I think, you know, to me it's really obvious that what people have to do, those who really believe in this or at least are willing to be open-minded and take a look at it, there's a number of people and organizations in the film and other ones as well that can really benefit from support. There's IONS, the Institute of Noetic Science, that's there. They have
mm-hmm.
they run a continuous research programs where they're looking at the effects of consciousness on health and healing. And it's a great organization, and people can sign up for their newsletter. You can actually join them and get regular information fed back to you. It's a great program to support. And the same is with HeartMath. It's another wonderful organization that's done extensive research on the effects of the heart and focusing on that part of your being and really changing your perspectives. There's stress reduction they're having that. They're doing research now with returning vets from Iraq, and they're finding mm-hmm. Very significant changes in post-traumatic stress syndrome but using their techniques of focusing on the heart. And that's another organization that you can join and support. Lynn McTaggart, you can go to her website, The Intention Experiment, and support the work that's being done there. So there's a lot of ways that people can engage. And I think that's really an important part. It's not a time to be passive and just wait to see what happens with your health care. It's time to be active and engage in it and become a part of it.
So let me rephrase my question. How do we calm the nerves of the generation or the group of people who are thinking this is like, we're not supposed to go there. How can we calm their nerves and say, is it just showing them the scientific proof? Do you think that's going to ease their uneasiness with using alternative medicine? It's like my father is like a retired Air Force Republican to the ilth, and he just does not understand about
well,
it. And I've been trying for a long time to make him relax because he's in a lot of pain, and I know I could help him. But how do you switch the people that really are stuck?
It's interesting. My father's a retired Air Force person, Republican to the max. It's an interesting,
right on.
Interesting deal. But, you know, he had back pain, and he's had back pain for a long time, and he finally went to an acupuncturist because he had a very good friend who he was in the Air Force with who said, you know what, I went and I saw this acupuncturist, and it works. So he finally decided to go give it a try, and lo and behold, it had a tremendous effect on his back. And he was able to get rid of this chronic back pain he's had for I can't tell you how long. And it was affecting his golf game. So that was a change for him. So it really, you know, it's going to be that kind of a word of mouth from other people and small incremental changes where somebody wants to try something and at least experiment with that. I mean, it's very hard if you're a real big, you know, naysayer and don't have anything open-mindedness at all, that's a difficult situation. Then there's some people that, you know, obviously you can't change.
Right.
But I think a lot of people are realizing, I don't think it's uncommon knowledge, that our medical system is broken. It's not functioning. The costs are ridiculous. The results are really starting to be very, very questionable, and everyone's questioning them. And it's becoming more and more obvious that something else has got to be there that has an effective work. And as more and more people try these things and have positive stories and they come back and say, gee, you know what, I did this and it was phenomenal. It really helped me out. That's going to make more change than anything else.
Yes. Speaking of that and the cost of the medical system right now, do you see it being soon where the insurance companies will open up, or do you think them along with the people with the pharmaceutical companies are just really going to really lobby against the possibility, or is there a way to win them over and say we can share this together? Because the insurance company, that's one thing that I know from a lot of people that holds people back from using it because the insurance companies don't cover it.
That's true. That is really a big issue. And really, I think for that to ultimately change, there has to be very solid research that's accepted by the conventional medicine and the boards they have, because that's what will empower the insurance companies to be able to reimburse people for these kinds of treatments. But the NIH budget is huge, but there's only about 1% that's allocated to the study of alternative medicine. So without significant funding and research into integrative health, these kinds of studies aren't going to be done. So then the choices are going to continue to be limited. So I think one of the things that has to happen is there has to be more funding. People have to demand that there are more studies to expand our knowledge and kind of shift the attitudes, because once it's more mainstream, then insurance companies are going to be able to make that part of someone's health plan. So that is, as you say, is a very difficult issue because people might be interested, and a lot of people are interested in having some of this alternative health care, but their insurance policies don't cover it.
I think in time, though, the insurance companies, because they're so bottom line oriented, the cost of these alternatives is minuscule compared to some of these drug treatments, or these incredible surgeries, or these radiation treatments, or the list goes on and on. The bottom line is going to be the dollar at some point, and they're going to come to realize that, boy, these alternative therapies, you can get significant results at a very, very inexpensive cost. So
that's
going to open some eyes, you know, at some point.
It will, absolutely, when they really sit up and accept it, because we were talking earlier today, Dean Ornish, who's a pretty well-known Bay Area doctor, has done some amazing studies, and he did one with men who chose to not take the conventional treatment for prostate cancer, and he just put them on a program for 3 months. They did three simple things that weren't expensive. They meditated for 1 hour a day. They walked for half an hour a day, and they changed their diet to include more fruits and vegetables and, you know, low fat. And after 3 months, they had changed the expression of over 500 genes, and the markers for the prostate cancer in their blood were significantly reduced, equal if not better, to any of the traditional, you know, drug treatments that they could have undertaken. So right there, that would be a much less expensive, invasive, and effective way to treat prostate cancer.
Most definitely. And there is many compelling stories within the film about people curing brain tumors and cerebral palsy. Can you share some of those amazing stories from the film?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think one of the most moving is we do open the film with the story of Dimitri, who's a little boy in Greece who was born with cerebral palsy and traditionally had to wear the braces and walk around with the supports on his arms. And his parents brought him to Eric Pearl, who's a reconnective healer, they actually had no idea what to expect. Some friends had recommended them to go there, and they had a miraculous experience where he, just by using his hands and passing over his body, he was able to basically take his braces off and run up and down the staircase that's there in the auditorium. And you know, when you watch him and you see this in the film, he's not 100% correct, but it's made such a difference in his life. He's got much more mobility. He's, you know, probably 90% of normal. And it's just such a joy to see something that has made such a tremendous change to this young boy. I mean, it's phenomenal. And it was just a simple, well, I say simple, but it's something that's sort of out of our realm normally, because it's one of these significant healing experience. And the reason we opened the film with that story is to really say, well, look, these things are happening. They're out there, and they're occurring. And it's time we stopped and said, you know, instead of just burying our heads in the sand and pretending that they're just sort of freak accidents, it's time to really take a look at those and find out, why do these happen? Why do they work? What's the science behind that? There has to be a model. And I think that's really pointing in the direction of this idea that quantum physics has got to be put into our healthcare system. We're still back in this old Newtonian concept of, you know, the body as a machine. And it's really time to look at a much more holistic approach, a much larger energetic and field approach. And that shift is starting to happen. That's what's exciting.
So the other thing is there are so many different modalities that are mentioned in here. And there's even a few that I was just like, wow. I mean, I had no idea they were out there, and it was just amazing. Plus, of course, you mentioned NLP, which I do, so it was nice to see it being promoted as really a way of taking control of the body and really seeing. The other thing that I found very interesting was how the film addressed the placebo effect. And can you explain how the film does that? Because I found it really fascinating how it kind of tricks the mind.
Well, the placebo effect is really quite amazing because, you know, 35% or 30% of, you know, people experience a cure just through the placebo effect. And, you know, science isn't really asking why is it so effective. But it is. It's as effective as most drugs. So it's fascinating to think about why that is, why a belief, someone's belief, can be so powerful that it you know, causes them to heal. And I think there needs to be a lot more research done about exactly how that works. But it just goes to show you that your mind and your thoughts really are a form of energy that affect you physically in different ways. So it's really fascinating.
Go on.
I was going to say the thing that really this film has really opened my mind to just how complex human beings really are, and just how many different layers and areas where people can be motivated and changed in so many different ways. You know, it's a miraculous thing, and healing is taking place all the time. There's a wonderful quote from Marilyn Schlitz from Ions in there, where she talks about, you know, a young child who cuts their finger and you know, has to witness this healing. They see it all the time, and it's a phenomenal thing. You put your Band-Aid on there, but we really don't understand yet completely how the body does that, how the body can heal a simple cut on a finger, and yet it happens. I mean, it's a miraculous thing. So there's a lot of just basic research on health that needs to happen. We really focus on disease, but we're not really focusing on healing and how to make health happen. And that's the shift that's got to happen.
Oh, most definitely. Now, in the film, you mention energy fields and information fields.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by it, and how does it affect the human body in the way it's discussed in the film?
Well, this is some interesting cutting-edge research that's kind of starting to come to light here. There's certainly energy. We know that there's energy. I mean, if you go to a healer, I'm sure some of your listeners have gone and actually experienced mm-hmm. a healing where you can feel the sensations of heat. You can feel the sensations of something actually happening in your body if you're working with it. And there's a definite energy that's taking place. And there's been some research on that. Ions has done some very interesting research with a variety of healers and putting them in different circumstances and putting them in, they have a large chamber room that basically you go in there and there's no electromagnetic frequencies that can go into this room. So anything that's transferred into this room has to come in some different form, and it has to come in more of a quantum basis. And they've done studies where they've shown that someone outside of this room can influence someone inside the room. Just by focusing their thoughts and their intention, they can make a physiological change to the person in there so that their blood pressure changes or their heart rate changes or things like that. So there's something that's moving across there, and it's happening on a level that I think is kind of an energetic level on one hand. And then you get into to the idea of information. Information is really patterns of energy. It's when you take, and this is actually a basic premise of quantum physics, where they're talking about you have energy that's, certainly everything is made up of energy, but you have to have something that structures that energy. You have to have a way to make it into something, and that really becomes this information pattern that describes how does that energy become a chair, or how does that energy become a part of your body. And it's those information fields that really provide that structure to it. So there's some interesting aspects to that that's being applied to healing as well. They're starting to look at how can you bring information in or change information in the body. And there's some very interesting things that are happening in those arenas.
Most definitely. And it's really well shown in the film. And I do want to mention before we go too further that on BBS Radio, on my page, I do have links, so you can go to thelivingmatrix.com for more information. And
actually thelivingmatrixmovie.com.
The Living Matrix Movie.
Yeah, sorry, no problem.
No, I want to make sure I get it correct. So you can go on and check out that. There's also a link, so if you want to purchase it on the website, if you want to host a screening, there is a way to get that done so you can get the word out. So I wanted to make sure to go to thelivingmatrixmovie.com and check out for more information to actually get this film. I failed to mention that at the beginning, so I want to make sure I get that out now, and I'll say it again later. I also want to invite the audience, if they have questions or comments they would like to make, they are welcome to call in. The number is 888-815-9756. We are really, it's just a time that there are so many shifting energies in so many ways that humans are really getting a clue that they have more control than they really thought. And it's kind of, it's cool and cool to be here and live through this time.
Yeah, most definitely.
It definitely is broadening the horizons for humanity to, who's always claimed to be so smarter and brighter than animals, yet animals have been evolving and been around, and for my take, it's like humans have really not really seen how nature has been able to take care of itself. They always try to manipulate it, and all they need to do is really look around them and see things heal themselves all the time. Why can't we?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting that we're finally getting a clue that we're more powerful, and it's good to see that we're really taking charge of it.
Yeah, I think that it's an important part of it, that really people need to have that wake-up call, that they realize that they can take responsibility for it and they can activate these things. And it's, you know, healing is such a profound mystery, as Marilyn says. It's just an amazing thing to witness, and I think we're just barely scratching the surface at this point. There's so many avenues of opportunity for different areas of research that could be explored, and I think it's really a marvelous time for that reason. All of this is going to explode in the next, you know, 10, 15 years. I think you're going to see tremendous applications of a lot of new ideas and new technologies that are really going to radically change our healthcare.
Yeah, and even Dr. Bruce Lipton says in the film, if we change our interaction with our environment, we change our genetic potential. So,
mm-hmm.
So there is nothing fixed in our biology. It's always changeable. So it's kind of interesting to really. And we are proving it. It's as something my mom has gotten through two bouts of colon cancer, and she literally, it is mind over matter. Mm. And it's just so funny. My dad is like liking his pain and is just so stuck. And my mom is like, you know, it's a done deal. I know this is curing itself, and I'll be fine. And two times she made it through, and both times the doctor was scratching their head saying, how did she do that?
Well, that's great.
That's a great example of just the power of what's possible in a human being. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, she set her intention, and she, you know, focused her thought, and that was really, sounds like it was really amazing.
It truly was, and it has been very interesting to go through my own process and see how it has affected them. Being a healer and going through alternative ways to do things and interacting with them, and even though my dad really isn't into it, I know he's listening. And my mom is like, you go, girl. You do what you need to do because I know you're doing good stuff. So it's kind of interesting to talk about the Reiki and to talk about NLP and have them experience it, and they have experienced some of it, and see how it does get them thinking that there is something different. I mean, my dad is more open now to alternatives, though I truly believe he's addicted to the pain, so he always goes back to it. So we're not getting to the core issue quite with him yet.
Mm-hmm.
And his problem is his back as well. There must be something about the military.
it's the weight of the world on your back, I guess. Yeah, maybe there is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's interesting that I think that there's so many different layers of opportunity that are emerging here. And this is a wonderful story because as people, over time, they really will start to look at these issues of their personal pain. And you're right, there are some people who really want to carry that for their own reasons. There are some people who, if they're in pain, they get sympathy from other people, and it's a way
right.
of getting attention, and they become addicted to that, and that's unfortunate. And I've seen that in a number of cases. But I, you know, the majority of people do really want to get rid of that pain, and I think that's the primary motivator, and that's really why people start looking down these alternative pathways, because word of mouth is out there, people are talking about it, and there's just going to be more and more of that. And you know, I, for one, I'm for people trying anything and everything they can to alleviate their pain and have real healing.
I mean, I think it's about giving people choices, and, you know, people can choose to try different things. You know, if one thing isn't really working, then try something else until you find something that works for you. I mean, it's all part of the process and the journey. And a lot of the alternative things, they're very safe. They don't have a lot of side effects. So why not? Give it a try. If it doesn't work, try something else.
Right. And it definitely is the intention, and being very specific on the intention. You can say that you're better and just keep saying that. But I truly believe that you really need to, as the woman kind of demonstrated with the brain tumor, that you really need to get to the core belief that was causing it, really get underneath, but also understand that there's a reason for it, the positive aspects of why something happened to you. I thought she was very interesting how she really was able to see the good of having the brain tumor, because it let her know why she wasn't able to get pregnant, that she had that core belief inside that she really didn't want kids because of her own childhood. So that was an amazing healing for an explanation of what it can really do some good. And the really, it also emphasized that there's a reason for everything, and there's always a good reason, even though it's the most horrible thing that you can think of, there is some good that came out of it. There always is. I've always been able to see the good in it. And people go, wow, I never thought about that. So it really is, right now our belief systems are really being shifted, especially with all the energy shifts that are out there. Belief systems are coming to the surface, so I think this is a great time for this film to be out there and say, hey, maybe we should really look even deeper to see how it's affecting our health. Now, nutrition is a huge part of it. And do you think that people should be just listening to what their body tells them to do?
Well, that's not really something that we looked into on this film. We didn't really go after nutritional aspects. I can't really say. I haven't done a lot of research on that side of it. But I do think there's certainly a lot of research about eating, you know, fruits and vegetables and things like that that have a tremendous impact on your health and well-being. But you know, it's a whole other. It's just one piece of the puzzle. I think you need to, you if you're working with a health issue, you really need to look into holistic areas and find as many different ways to work at it as you can, and nutritionally, energetically. You know, I would do everything I could in every direction to work on it.
Most definitely, there is a lot of things within the film that really changed how I was looking. What was the one thing that really surprised you in doing this film?
One of the key concepts for me was when we first were introduced to Fritz Popp's work and the whole idea of the biophotons. I mean, when I first read his work and listened to his interview and actually saw the images of the, you know, that they take, I think it was of a plant, you could actually see the outline of the plant, but just the idea that every single cell in your body is emitting a low level of light. I mean, I just walked around for weeks thinking about that, because it just was such a core idea for me that we really are bodies of light and energy, and the mystics were right. We really are made up of light, and we're giving off light, and we're, you know, we're all connected that way. So that was just one idea that just really was very powerful for me. And just, you know, the more I thought about it, the more it explained a lot of different things. And I just, his research was, you know, just phenomenal. And Lynn McTaggart talks about it in her book The Field, and outlines, like, you know, how long it took him to really solidify his research into biophotons, and how difficult it was for him, and how he experienced complete ostracization from the scientific community. You know, he was basically kicked out of the university where he was a professor, but he was so committed to pursuing this research that he persevered, and eventually the German government built him his own research center, and he, you know, became very well respected. But for me, that was like one of the most key ideas that sort of opened it up to a lot of these other ideas that we connect with and explore in the film.
For me, one of the real kind of mind-opening experiences was this idea of the using EFT in Kosovo. There's a short mention of that in the film about post-traumatic stress after this this tremendous genocide that took place in the Kosovo. And just by using EFT, they were able to go in and effectively change these people's patterns from, you know, obviously huge depression and just, you know, the atrocities that occurred there just devastated people. But to go in and use this simple tapping technique of EFT, where they're able to tap on acupressure points and reprogram their subconscious minds, and in virtually 100% of their cases, able to take them back and actually experience happiness again. I mean, that's just profound that something that easy and that simple can make such a huge change to someone. That's and especially in our world today, where we need change and we need it quickly. And, and something like that, a tool like that can make such a huge change in people's attitudes and their beliefs and just their overall lives, and make it happen so quickly. That's just phenomenal. And that's one of the you know, things that gets me excited about the film is just to help spread that message, because those things are powerful, and that's just going to seriously change our, you know, our whole reality if we can implement these.
And we are implementing them. I mean, it might be a slow process, but they're getting out there, and it's interesting that they were able to go in there and do that for those people, that they were open-minded. The people were open-minded enough to allow them to experience this process, because after all that they've gone through, it was kind of amazing that you want to do what with me? All the things that they've gone through, that's what was amazing to me, that they were trusting enough.
Yeah. Well, and it's amazing because we have a copy of the letter from the Surgeon General of in the Kosovo area there, and he basically says, look, this technique is phenomenal. There's been numerous organizations who have come in here and tried to provide relief to our people here, but nothing has been as effective and so easily implemented as this EFT. I mean, it's amazing the support it has of the government now. It's amazing there.
And he's training all of the psychologists or their doctors in the system who work with these people who have experienced such trauma. They're training them now in this TFT or EFT technique.
Now, what do those stand for? EFT is emotional freedom technique, correct?
Yes.
That's right.
And you said another one, Susan.
Well, TFT is thought field therapy. It's a variation of the same idea of that you can do these techniques to reprogram your subconscious and change your patterns of behavior.
And the thing that's amazing to me is if you go on YouTube, you can find how to do this very easily and teach yourself how to do the EFT effectively.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's wonderful that it's available on YouTube.
And if somebody really wants to try to look at some of the science behind it, there's a really interesting book. Dawson Church has got a book called Genie in Your Genes that kind of takes him on a journey. It's his personal journey of really trying to understand what the scientific implications are of EFT and how it could possibly have an impact on the body. And actually, he's busy now doing some dedicated research on working with EFT and veterans returning from Iraq who have the same post-traumatic stress syndrome from being in the war zone. So there's new research and there's continuing avenues of exploration that are going on, and that's really exciting, I think.
It's very exciting, and it's the film is really opened my eyes to, even like I said, many different aspects of the healing and the depth that it really is changing everyday people's lives very easily, quickly, and efficiently. And we only have a couple minutes. Do you guys have any final thoughts or anything you want to say?
Well, you know, there's one kind of a spiel I'd love to say, and that, and it really comes back to people taking responsibility. And I think it's up to everyone now to start implementing these changes in their own life. And because changes to a healthcare system aren't going to happen at the top. They're not going to be, you know, the heads of the FDA are not going to suddenly change and say, gee, let's implement, you know, some kind of alternative therapy. The change is really going to come from below. And it's really important that people not just sit on the sidelines and expect things to happen for them, but become involved and really get out there and help make these issues real and make them really change. There's, you know, if they go to our website, thelivingmatrixmovie.com, there's lots of resources there of different organizations they can support, different ideas that they can work with. And I think it's really important that people become engaged and help implement this change.
Susan, do you have anything to add?
I think Greg has said it very well. We just really want to bring this message to people that of hope and change, and that we're very powerful. We're more powerful than we've ever imagined. And there's a lot of things that you can do yourself if you are facing a health challenge. Or it seems like whenever I talk to somebody, there's somebody, even if it's not yourself, there's somebody you know or somebody in your family who has is having a, you know, a serious health problem. And I think, you know, you have, there's a lot that you can offer to those people. And that's, you know, I guess that's our message, is just that, you know, it, there is hope out there, and there are a lot of things that you can do. You don't have to accept this, you know, a diagnosis of a lifelong illness.
Right. There isn't a death warrant, a death sentence for you just because you're diagnosed with something.
Right.
If you believe in yourself and believe that you can change your intention and say, no, my body's healthy, your body is healthy. The body's going to listen to you. And if it has a message for you, it definitely is going to let you know that's why you have the illness. So there's something to look at. But once you really face it and say, okay, this is a possibility, now let's get over it. Let's move on and move forward. So it's, again, the movie is The Living Matrix. The website is thelivingmatrixmovie.com. I highly recommend you check it out and have the screenings. And with this is Jennifer Hellman saying, with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and inspirations. Until next time, many blessings and good night.